Yeah, it's so good we're doing this series on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to finish this morning with forgiveness. So forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let's start with the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15 says this. It says, let's go with 12 and 13 actually. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. 14 and 15, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty massive, isn't it? Don't you think? Yeah. That's what I thought when I'm getting this message ready. It's actually a massive message, really. There's some massive implications to what Jesus said. If you don't forgive others, you will not be forgiven by God. Whoa. It's a big deal, all right. So I'm going to try and tackle this. It's quite hard to get the balance because there are some people that deliberately hold kind of like bitterness and they can be very unforgiving in their demeanor and their nature. That's one half of it. But the other half of it, some people have suffered and been some, you know, the victims of some massively unjust things which hurt God as much as it hurt them, believe you me. And they genuinely want to forgive but don't know how. We're going to deal with both of them things. It's hard to get the balance. It's a big message, isn't it? So it's a lot to do. So let's start. So sins, debts, it uses the word debts there. Bo, when you were sharing earlier, you talk about debts, and there's a sense of we all have this kind of like, we're all indebted to God because of our sins. Also in Luke, I think it uses a different Greek word, which suggests trespasses, which means we've trespassed into something that's not ours and took. So a parable would be if there's a good king, and he's got a land, and he goes away for a while. Jesus told this parable, and he gives control of the land over to his people, over to his regents. But you know what? They turn bad. The good king, there's another regent somewhere else. He hates the king, and he hates his people. He hates the kingdom. And actually, the people, when he's away, aren't just rebelling against his laws and commands. They actually bring and invite this regent in to come and rule and deliberately kind of like follow his ways and submit to him. And the bad regent, you know, he brings so much darkness and wickedness, and the people are rebelling. And, you know, obviously the good king's going to come back and he's going to get his land. Jesus is not going to be defeated. He has no equal, you know, like Jesus is victorious. He made a public spectacle of this bad region. But what we did in Eden and what we've been doing ever since is that we've been trespassing, we've been sinning, we're in debt to God with our sins, and actually it's a massive deal. It's such a massive deal that to deal with it, God himself came and died on the cross, because nobody could die for anybody else's sin, because nobody has never not sinned. In the whole of history, every single person has sinned. So if somebody was to die, they're only dying for their own sin. So it took somebody sinless to be able to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And that's what Jesus did. Isn't it massive? Jesus did. And so that's what Jesus did. And so we've got this sense of we are indebted. And but this is what Jesus did. And so I don't know if you've ever been in debt. You know, we get loans nowadays. It's very common. You know, we get car loans and house loans and student loans. We buy this and we buy that. And we, you know, every month sometimes you get a letter, you know, and sometimes you get a reminder. Sometimes it will be in red to try and scare you. And there's threats and lots of reminders. And you know, God doesn't send us monthly reminders, monthly bills. But if we're outside of Jesus, let me tell you, our debt is growing and growing and growing. We are in debt. And there is a payment process. There is a just process by which the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so that's hanging over every one of us, you know, death. And so we try to deal with sin, either we ignore God's laws and we ignore God, and that's really rebellious and proud, you know, and we kind of think, you know what, I will be my own God. I will decide what's right and wrong. I don't need to trust or follow God. I will do my own thing. That's what we do sometimes as mankind generally. I'm speaking about humans. Or the other thing is we make up weird things like karma. Has anybody ever heard of karma? You know, like it's like I'm going to keep coming back in the afterlife and cycling until I can get it right. And I'm going to keep coming back paying for my sins. And I'm going to be born and reborn. I'm going to born, die, be reborn. It makes no sense to me. To me, it's dumb, because if that was true and people were actually achieving karma, then the population would be going down, not going up. And it's also dumb to me because, you know, the end goal is we will become nothing. Sounds like a hoot, doesn't it? You know? I'm grateful that we get to live forever, you know, and in Jesus, I'm excited that I will live forever and I will be with Jesus, and I would hate to be outside of Jesus and live, you know, that's no life. So it's good news. I'll tell you why it's good news. We're all in debt. We cannot afford to pay our debt. Billions and billions and billions in debt, but this is what Jesus did on the cross. He literally wiped out, paid in full, and cleared our debt. Is that amazing? It's like a sense of, in the Bible, in Jewish, in the Old Testament, it's a sense of the year of Jubilee, the year of freedom. Our debts are wiped out in Jesus. We couldn't deal with them ourselves. We're going around in circles. We're making up things as we go along like karma. We're trying to ignore God, trying to do our own thing. And actually, the debt's mounting, mounting, mounting. Jesus comes and says, paid in full. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Paid in full. Imagine you're millions of pounds in debt and someone comes and pays your debt for you. And actually, you're about to be sentenced to jail, sentenced to death by the judge. And Jesus comes in and pays it. Wow. That's what Jesus did. And so he satisfies and he fulfills everything of the law, and then he gives us to us that gift. He satisfies the law, and he's never sinned. So all of that righteousness, all of that holiness, he gifts it to us. And listen, our confession is enough for our remission. Our confession that Jesus is Lord, our repentance of our sin and acknowledging it and apologizing and believing in Jesus is enough for it to be forgiven. We literally just have to ask and believe. God is massive. God is amazing. And so that's all. Our confession is enough for our remission, because confession shows, and when you repent, it shows, number one, you've got faith because you actually pray and you believe that God is there for a start. And number two, repentance shows that you're humble before God. You're not saying, I am my own God. And you're not saying, you know, I make up the rules of what's good and bad in my life. It's humility to come before God and say, you know what? I'm sorry, God. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. I repent. And so it's enough for us to be forgiven and paid in full. It's so God. Jesus has made the way where there was no other way. And it's such an easy way. We just believe and we just confess, we repent. And yet it says here, if we don't forgive others, we won't be forgiven. So I'm going to look at that, man. That's quite a big thing, isn't it? And so I want to do two things this morning. I want to look at what it looks like to be an unforgiver, to be bitter in your spirit, and to have that demeanor of someone who's bitter. But then I want to look at some people who have suffered some really horrific, unjust things. And you, kind of like in your heart, you're like, I want to forgive. I don't know how I can forgive. I want to forgive. It hurts so much. I want you to know, forgiveness is often a miracle by the Holy Spirit. And it's something that he will help you. And for me, in my opinion, if your heart says, I want to, I don't know if I can, I really want, you're already there in a way, because God looks at the heart. And if you submit to God and say, God, will you help me? He will help you, Holy Spirit. I'm believing for miracles in the house. And this is the thing. This is what we tend to do. And this is what I want you to do. Maybe Holy Spirit, as I'm speaking this morning, will bring to your mind a face of somebody you might need to forgive. A name, a person, someone in your life you might need to forgive and release and be released from. And also, I want you to consider this, because we do that. That's what we naturally do. We're good at that. We can see people that have hurt us. But maybe think about people who might be seeing your face. Do you know what I mean? Because we always put ourselves in the position of victim, but sometimes we need to think, sometimes, you know what, there might be some people I need to apologize to. Now, I'm not asking us to get silly, you know, just to go up to people after the church, after the service, and be random and say, you know what, I want to apologize because, I'll be honest, your face annoys me. That's just, you know what I mean? I'm not saying be silly about it. I'm saying if you've genuinely wronged somebody, if you've done some wrong, your first thing you do is you repent, you talk to Holy Spirit, and the second thing is you apologize to the person, you know? It's right and it's proper, and there's a way to do it. So number one, the dangerous habit of unforgiveness. And it is a habit and it's a choice, you know? This is what I believe Jesus is referring to. If you cannot forgive others, how can you be forgiven? It's so hypocritical, isn't it, to say, God, I want you to forgive my sins, but I will not forgive that person. Jesus likened it to this. God, please wipe out my £1 billion debt. And then, you know, refusing to allow someone that owes you a tenner. That's how Jesus put it. Having this spirit of like, you know what, I'm going to wear a hat all my life and it's going to be victim. It's going to be victim. It's going to be, I'm the one who was wronged and I'm going to wear this hat and be proud of it. And I'm going to be the one that people need to grovel to. I am a victim. I will not be forgiven. And so in any situation, whenever we're wronged, whenever we've been offended against, perceived or real, we have two choices, either forgiveness or unforgiveness. There's no third option. And unforgiveness, I want to say the first point is this, unforgiveness will lead to bitterness. Bitterness is harmful in your life. It's harmful in the church. It's harmful in society. The Bible talks about bitterness actually as a root. I think in James it is, let no bitter root be among you that causes envy and violence and all of this nasty stuff. It's a root. And sometimes through the Holy Spirit's help and through prayer and submission to God and for a heart that wants to change, you can dig out that root in Jesus' name. And so the warning is huge, because let me tell you this, let me just set the scene here. There are, if you do not forgive, you won't be forgiven. There are no unforgiven people in heaven. You understand me? So we want to make sure that we are not holding unforgiveness as a choice, not holding bitterness as a way of life, as a demeanor in ourself. Not choosing to be, refusing. When you hear me, you might, you know, if you're hearing me say, blah, 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 I cannot forgive that, I will not forgive that person. If that's your demeanor, then please let Holy Spirit just bring gentle conviction this morning, you know? And sometimes, you know, we can carry offense about the smallest of things, and then there are big things, and I want to deal with that next, so just hold on. Don't think that I'm being cold and clinical and harsh as a pastor. You guys will know this as pastors. We've heard and seen some horrendous things. People have suffered some horrific things. Some people in this room have been abused, mistreated. There might have been, people might have been raped, you know, all kinds of horrific things. I'm not being cold and clinical and harsh. What I'm saying to you this morning is that if that's you and you genuinely want to move on in God, God sees your heart. You're already there, in my opinion. Holy Spirit will help you. But if you're in this room and you just have a bitter kind of like, life has got you bitter, you feel, you're blaming life, but I want you to know Holy Spirit wants you to be free from that as well. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And this thing about if you cannot forgive, you will not be forgiven. In my opinion, it doesn't mean that like we earn our forgiveness on merit because we're such good forgivers. Because I believe forgiveness is a free gift from God at the cross, you know. What I believe it means is, it's not that we earn our forgiveness by being amazing little forgivers. What I believe it means is that if you're an unforgiver, if you're unforgiving, if you're bitter, it means ipso facto, in my opinion, that you have not really got the Spirit of Christ indwelling in you. You haven't really got a sense of your own sin in a way. If that's your heart, if your heart is hard and you're like, nope, nope, no, I won't forgive that person. If your heart is hard, then it's like the Holy Spirit hasn't allowed, you haven't allowed room for Jesus to grow. You've not got a sense of your own sin and your own failings. And it's kind of like almost as if, this is what happens when somebody refuses to forgive. You've stood on the throne yourself, not allowing God to stand on the throne. You've said, God, you can forgive my sins, but I can't forgive that person's sins because they're worse than mine. I'm not pointing at anyone. I can't forgive that person's sins because they're worse than mine. I am the judge of what sins is bad, what sins is not so bad. I will decide. I am my own God, and you know, I will decide. I will be judge, jury, and execution. That person deserves to have me unforgive them. And so ipso facto, it's like... you're not letting Jesus in, you know, because the Spirit of Jesus, you know, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, so gracious and merciful and kind, you know. And how we interact with each other, you know, what God wants, genuinely wants, especially in his church and his people, by this you'll know my disciples, you love one another, is that we're tender-hearted and kind to each other, you know. And if there's any hardness of heart, Holy Spirit wants to deal with that. Holy Spirit wants to deal with that. So we don't hierarchy sin. Sin is sin. And, you know, so we don't decide which sin is worse than the other, which sin deserves to be forgiven, which sin doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Like I said, some of you have suffered some horrific things, but your heart is there and you want to follow Jesus. Holy Spirit, we're going to believe will help you as well. But let's start with those who are bitter. And we've all been there, you know, sometimes we've all been, what? I just feel like, I'm so surprised when I look back at how I was before I was saved. Like, if somebody wronged me in a perceived way, I could be up all night thinking about how I'm going to get my own back, you know? Has anybody ever done that? You lose sleep thinking about the person, thinking, I'm going to destroy that person. Yeah. I'm going to plot my revenge, and I'm going to do it properly and slowly, you know? And you can't let... So what you start to do if you have this demeanor, you see bitterness as a root. It's like a weed, and it grows, and it grows, and it chokes the fruit in your life. And so you become a bitter person. So what it means is you actually start to twist the truth in a way you don't even know you're doing it, revise history, and you leave out the bits where you're in a negative light, and you start to read between the lines, but not reading the best between the lines, but reading the worst. Somebody could say something, not meaning at all to be mean to you, but you're hearing something else. What did you just say? Do you know what I mean? This is what bitterness does. What Jesus wants for his church is that we read between the lines something good. We believe the best. And so this is what we could do as bitter people. So bitter people, they are, I want to share you one or two characteristics of bitter, unforgiving people. Number one, they are expert archaeologists. Have I said the right word? They will dig up the past. Now, listen, I know, like, husbands and wives, you know, sometimes, you know, or you know, close friends, you can have arguments and sometimes you can bring it. But they are experts at digging up the past and making you feel bad about something that happened X amount of years ago because they've not moved on. They've not forgiven. And so they'll dig up things that happened. In fact, you know when it says, the Bible says, love keeps no record of wrongs? They keep a record of wrongs. You know, almost like it's written in a book. And you know what? Sometimes you could be surprised. You're talking to someone, they're offended about something, they're upset about something. You forgot about it, but they remember what you were wearing, what day it was, what month it was, because they've kept a record and they've not moved on. And Holy Spirit genuinely wants us all to move on and to be a forgiving, gracious, tender-hearted, kind-hearted people, doesn't he? And so I had this situation when I was in another church, and there were two people, and one of them, he never came, one of the ladies, it was her husband, he never came to church again. I never saw him. I said, what happened? Well, him and Pete's over there, they had a falling out, a massive falling out, and he never came to church. I said, what on earth happened? Why was this so thing that he's never come back to church again? Well, basically, Pete came to church that morning. He was busy. He said hello to you. He forgot to say good morning to him. He was so offended, he never came to church again. And we go, tut, 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 but you know, that's an extreme example. I said, you're kidding me, right? So he forgot to say hello, so he's offended, and they've fallen out, he can't forgive. That's bitter, isn't it? That's unforgiving. And that's actually an unrealistic, harmful expectation. We can do that as well. We have unreasonable expectations on each other. We are not Jesus. We cannot fulfill what only Jesus can fulfill. We should all look, shouldn't we? We should all look for our security, our affirmation from God, first of all. And anything we receive from others is like a gift from God, because we're in the house of God. We're in the family of God. And, you know, we don't want to be a people that are judging and critical in our nature and really. And also, bitter people are prone to self-righteousness. Let me tell you this, because they have already perceived themselves as the victim in this story. When you make a fire, sometimes you take two bits of flint, don't you? You strike them against each other and there's a fire. But sometimes in some situations, the offended victim or the bitter one thinks to himself, you know what? His flint struck my flint, it's his fault. But sometimes it takes two to argue and stuff, and we just allow Holy Spirit to kind of like make sure that these things don't become something horrible. And so they've elevated themselves to victim and to also to judge. Oftentimes, bitterness can come from jealousy and envy. You know, let no bitter root, I think it's in James, which causes envy and strife. You know, I think jealousy and envy in the church is something really ugly. Do you? I can't stand it when people are competitive and insecure. They can't praise or celebrate or encourage others, and they need to be praised themselves all the time. I think that's a really ugly spirit, and I think, like, Holy Spirit, like, it would want us to deal with that if there's any hint of that. And I'm talking like human nature. This isn't something that we see in other people, by the way. Whenever we talk, always have a microphone inside. Look out with love. And read between the lines with grace, but look inside and say, God, just make sure this isn't in me, you know? But competitiveness, insecurity, when it leads to you can't encourage others, you can't celebrate with others if God is using them massively or God's doing something amazing. If you always have to be the receiver of praise, then maybe let Holy Spirit in, you know, and just do a bit of work there. You know? And sometimes we can, oftentimes bitter people, you can get bitter. Let me tell you, it's most common to become bitter with someone you love, you know, because it's the ones you love us the ones we love the most that can hurt us the most, in a way. And so, like, there are some understandable hurts that happen in life, in your relationships, even within a church context, and in just in work, any kind of context, but the ones we care about the most can hurt us the most. And so that's where, like, bitterness has a chance, unforgiveness has a chance to kind of, like, become bitterness. So just, like, if people have really hurt you, really let you down, really kind of like upset you, all of this stuff, maybe just ask Holy Spirit into your heart to bring some healing and to bring some help so that you can kind of like turn that unforgiveness into forgiveness and make sure it doesn't become bitterness. And bitterness can become a fire. It can become a fire. Let me tell you, because it can burn the world down. Let me tell you why. Because if you're bitter about someone, if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart about someone, you will be looking for that person to fail you again and again and again. You will kind of like label that person as this or that. And in fact, you will start to draw other people in on that and create this kind of like this caricature, this nickname, this label for this person that isn't even there, that you're kind of like seeing something that isn't there, and you start to maybe, without meaning to, gossip about the person, talk to other people about it, and other people that might have been hurt by similar kind of characters. What we're doing is kind of like, we've labeled some, we're bitter, we're looking for them to fail. When they fail, it's an aha moment. They make us angry, we start to get angry. Anger becomes a fire, a small fire. Malice and gossip can become a flame. And before you know it, there's a fire. You would have heard this, Bo. I've seen whole churches split and divided because of unforgiveness and because of bitterness and because of that judgmental spirit that says, I am right, I am the victim, I will be judged, jury, and executioner. I've seen it in churches. I'm so thankful. Praise God. I just love what you guys have done here, because I just love the fact that I have literally never felt judged in this house. Yes. Now, it's not just, I don't want to elevate us and we're so proud, we're LBC, but I just love that we are not in a judging house. If you are a judger and you want to bring some fire and division and that's you, you need to let Holy Spirit do some work, because that's not us, you know? But it could become a fire, and I've seen it. Jeff and Bo would have seen it, literally split churches. And it's not like the person that threw the cigarette down ever meant it to cause a forest fire. Bitter people don't mean to do these things, but it just happens if you don't let Holy Spirit in. Unless you forgive, you cannot be forgiven. I'm talking about the people who choose consciously, rebelliously, hear me and say, yeah, but you don't know what they did. I will not forgive that person. If that's you, I will not forgive that person. Let me give you a stern warning. You do not want to lose heaven because of your offense or perceived offense. Amen? So that's quite a stern word. It's quite stern. Let Holy Spirit bring to your mind people that you might need to forgive. Let also Holy Spirit bring to your mind someone who might be seeing your face right now. Sometimes we're not always the victim. We sin. In the first part of the prayer, forgive our sins. But we've also been sinned against. We're also victims of offenders as well. And it says there in the past tense, did you see that? Before you pray, before you say the Lord's Prayer, as we have forgiven, past tense. So in many ways, Jesus is teaching us about this concept, about this principle that we've already forgiven before we come to Jesus. And by the way, in Luke, when it talks about the Lord's Prayer, it's in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 9, it says Jesus set his face resolutely for Jerusalem. He was going on a few-month walk to Jerusalem to die on the cross. He literally teaches about forgiveness on the way to making it possible. Yeah. On the way to making it possible for us to forgive and for us to be forgiven. On the way to the cross. So that we just need to confess. Your confession is enough for your remission when it comes from faith and true repentance. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? I'm so glad that God isn't bitter about me. That he's not thinking vengeful, dark thoughts. He's not harboring. And this is what we do, by the way, when we're unforgiving. We harbor dark, vengeful thoughts. We harbor bad things about the person that maybe Jesus doesn't see them in the same light as you see them. We revise history, we change truth. Secondly, I want to say forgiven people forgive. So listen, I want to caveat some people in this room. You have been the victim of some horrific abuse, the victim of some horrific sin. You have been sinned against. And the idea is not to diminish or rubbish what you've been through and not to be cold and clinical. But I want to say this morning, let's give Holy Spirit some room this morning. We want to see some miracles. It takes a miracle sometimes to forgive. And I'm believing for some miracles in the house this morning as well, you know. I'm believing the Holy Spirit to work on your heart, on your soul, on your spirit. Being through some horrific things. I want to deal with what forgiveness is in a way, in the time I've got, you know, maybe and deal with what it isn't, you know? Because we've got these kind of like views, these myths, and we think forgiveness is something, and so we think it's impossible, I can't do it because if forgiveness is this. Let me tell you, let's first of all deal with what forgiveness isn't. If in your heart you've suffered something horrific, you've been the victim of a horrific offender, let me tell you first of all, if your heart is, God, I want to, and I don't know how, Holy Spirit's going to help you. You're already halfway there. He looks at the heart. Secondly, let's understand what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not, you ready? Here's a list of what it isn't. It's not diminishing or enabling sin. It's not reducing it to, oh, it was nothing, you know, it's no big deal. I'll just have to build a bridge and get over it. It's fine. I'm not going to be a drama queen about this. Let me tell you, it's not diminishing sin because let me tell you this. You cannot diminish something that Jesus was crucified over. When we diminish sin, when we diminish it in other people, oh yeah, what you've been for ain't no big deal. Come on, just get over it. I find it so arrogant if somebody was to say to me, or if somebody was to say to you, oh, just get over it. That's so rude, isn't it? We cannot diminish sin. That's not how you deal with forgiveness. That's not how you forgive. You don't diminish it and make it nothing. You recognize it for what it is. Let me tell you, it hurts you and it hurt God. When you were the victim, when you were being offended against, that hurt God because he loves you so much. I'm a dad. Some of you are mums and dads. If anyone hurts our kids, it's like war. You know, it's like it hurts, doesn't it? You will crush. Number two, it's not just forgetting, you know. God doesn't make you an amnesiac. Yeah. So we quote this sometimes in our argument. Forgiving is forgetting. So don't, sometimes things hurt so much, you just can't forget it. God is omnipresent. You don't honestly think God forgets anything. When it says in the Old Testament, I choose to remember your sin no more, God chooses when he interacts with us. He interacts with us based on what Jesus did on the cross, not on the sins we've done in the past. So forgiveness isn't just forgetting and becoming some kind of like amnesiac. Sometimes you remember things, but you choose to interact with the other person based on their potential in Christ, based on who they are in Jesus and what God could do rather than what they've done in the past. You see the difference? How can you forget when someone's ripped your heart, your chest, you know? Sometimes it takes healing and time and counseling and help. But you can forgive before you get to that place. Yeah. Number three, it's not ceasing to feel pain. Sometimes you look back on an event and it will still hurt. It's normal and natural, especially with what some of you have been through. But here's the miracle of what Holy Spirit can do, you see. He can actually, and this is a miracle, it just takes prayer and trusting in God. And if this is you this morning, listen, he can actually fill you with unspeakable joy, as the Bible says, even in the midst of pain. So when old wounds resurface and start to bleed again, when you start to remember these things, instead of going into a cycle of bitterness and unforgiveness, you could actually start to praise God in the midst of that and be filled with this Holy Spirit joy. We can operate out of forgiveness even through pain, you know? Yeah. Next, forgiveness is not unjust and it's not naive. Let me tell you, God is just. So if sin is not repented and dealt with, the offender will face justice. And so if God can do a miracle in your heart enough, if God can change your heart enough, that you could actually start to believe and be tender heart towards a person, do you know what's a massive test of whether you can forgive someone? Is whether you can do what Stephen did, what Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them. When you can pray for their forgiveness, that's a massive test. Anyway, that aside, when we talk about forgiveness, we're not saying that justice has been, you know, if that person doesn't repent, they will face Jesus. Outside of Jesus, they are facing hell. Inside of Jesus, it's not unjust because the sin has been dealt with. It's been punished on the cross. And so in brotherly love, we can kind of like, God can help us overcome. It's not naive either. It's not about staying with, and Hayes was quoting to me last night, there's a Christian organization called Justice for Women. I think because of bad advice and thick things being said from the church, historically, X amount of women have lost their lives to abusive husbands. It's not naive or unjust. It's not going back into abusive situations and being beaten and being or just being abused emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. Or in the past, we've told people to just submit and follow your husband. The husband's not even following Jesus. He's a gambler. He's wasting. You follow Jesus first of all, you know? God doesn't expect you to just stay in a horrific situation. It's not unjust. It's not. You can forgive someone and still call the cops.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you know that? You can forgive someone from the heart. Holy Spirit can help you forgive someone, believe them, all of this stuff, and still testify against them in court because justice is justice. It's not naive. If you were molested by a family member, it would be naive just because they apologized to let them babysit your kids. You would never do it. It's not unjust. It's not naive. Forgiveness doesn't wait for apology, you know. I will forgive them when they say sorry. Have you ever done that? I will forgive them when they apologize. Sometimes they will never apologize. Sometimes they will die before they get to apologize.
Yeah, true.
Forgiveness comes before an apology. It's just the way it is. And finally, it's not a one-off event. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we need to forgive and forgive again. Sometimes we've got repeat offenders in our life. God bless them. We're praying for them. We want them to get saved. But sometimes we have to forgive over and over. Or sometimes old wounds might resurface. Somebody might say something that might bring you back to a past event. And it takes forgiving over and over. Sometimes it's not just a one-off event. We don't wave a magic wand and say a magic prayer. Sometimes it takes something further. You reach out in your heart. God, I want to. I don't know how. And then there's other help available. You know, we have prayer teams that will help pray for you. There is Christian counseling, wise counsel you can get, you know. And counselors in your life and in the church setting that will just help you through this. And it's a process sometimes. But I really believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will find freedom. You will find forgiveness. You may have had injuries done for you and done to you, and you may be sitting there, I want to forgive, I don't know how to forgive. And God is not harsh and critical, clinical, cold. He's not looking for you to fail. He's like, see, you don't forgive, when you might have been the victim of something horrific. He's made a way where there wasn't a way. So let me talk about what forgiveness looks like. It looks like this. It means you cancel a debt that somebody owes you. You release them from what they did wrong. So you don't hold it against them. You don't view them through that lens and look for them to fail and do the same thing over and over and over again. Do you understand what I'm saying? You look at them in the way that Father God looks at us, not with vengeful thoughts, not with anger and malice and bitterness, but with thoughts of when Father sees us, he sees us in love. You know, like a dad, he's a dad. We get the very first thing we looked at when we said the Lord's Prayer is we get to call God Dad. He's our dad. That's pretty cool. And he looks at us through the lens. When he looks at us, he sees what Jesus has done, not what the sins we've done.
Yeah.
It cancels a debt. By doing that, by releasing them from their debt that they owe you, you know, what you're doing actually is... you are removing the control of the offender, believe it or not. Because if you stop obsessing, stop replaying this video that happened over and over and over and over in your mind, they've lost their control of you. Do you know that? Some people who have hurt you and offended against you, they still have a control because you've not moved on from that moment. You're still living in the pain and you're still reliving it and you're still thinking, I wish I said this. You're in fantasy land. I wish I said this. I wish I did that. And you're like, you're harboring like vengeful thoughts. It removes their control. Number three, it's a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift, first of all, to you. Because if you're released from that stress, from the anxiety, from that kind of like vengeful thinking, from living in that painful place, that's a gift to you. It's also a gift to the offender. Gift that God gave us, we give to others. Releasing them and seeing them in grace and mercy. Remember, it doesn't negate justice. Number four, forgiveness is an ongoing process. I covered that before. It's not a one-off. It is ongoing. There is counseling available. There is a prayer team. Please make use of it. And number five, you could even get to a point where you actually want good for the offender, you know, believe it or not. You know, actually in a God way, you can start to be tender-hearted towards each other. And if it doesn't mean you get naive, it doesn't mean you live in abusive situations, it doesn't mean you kind of like go through the cycles of abuse and become an enabler and become a codependent and all this stuff. It means you still act just. You've got God who's strong with you and he protects you and he loves you. But you can forgive and release and live free yourself. And you could even pray, Father, forgive them. That's pretty massive, isn't it? And you're letting God be the judge. You're letting God be the judge. Leave judgment to God. You're not trying to be the judge yourself. You're not trying to be the judge. You're just leaving judgments to God and saying, God, I just want to live free. I just want to be free to be your child, to follow you, you know? So I'm going to close now, you know? It says there, it's so vital. Unless you forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's pretty massive, isn't it? Want to be forgiven. I want to be forgiven. There's no unforgiven people in heaven. Will you hear what I'm saying? Only forgiven people in heaven. If you want to forgive, you've got to be a forgiver. You can't hold on to something somebody did. You can't expect God to wipe out your 1 million debt and then chase someone for a tenner. And as I finish, I'm going to share with you a key. It's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. 1 Peter 2, 19 to 24 says this. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. You hearing me? But how is it to your credit if you receive beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God, because like Jesus, he suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. They hurled insults at him. He didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to God who judges justly. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Let me tell you about the most innocent victim in the history of mankind. It's Jesus Christ. Did he ever sin? No. Did he ever sin against anyone? No. Was he sinned against? Yes. He was mistreated, abused, rejected, beaten, crucified. And yet, on the cross, when he could have called down a legion of angels, he said this, Father, forgive them. And he gives us an example. He purchases our debt cancellation, our forgiveness, and he makes it possible for us to forgive. God's good? So be mindful of God. This is the key, conscious of God. When you get offended, when you get hurt, you tend to have tunnel vision. You can only see the person and the event. But like, get out of that tunnel vision, look up, look at God, and just know this. Here's a few things you need to know. God sees everything. He doesn't see the harshness, how you've been victimized. He doesn't just see it and ignore it and expect you just to forgive and forget. He sees it hurts God when you are hurt. He loves you, yeah? God sees, he's also just, that justice will be done. Either the offender will repent and come to Jesus or will say sorry to you, or they will hold that sin into account. God sees. Also, he sees is a big thing, because it says there, it's commendable if you suffer unjustly, but don't retaliate, but act like Jesus. That is commendable before God. Actually, on earth is the only opportunity we got, because there's no such thing as suffering in heaven, agreed? There's no anger or bitterness. There's no offending against each other. There's no hurting each other in heaven. There's no tears. We will cry all the way to Jesus, but when we get to Jesus, we'll never cry again. So while we're on earth, this is a great opportunity for God to look down and say, that is commendable. They've been offended and hurt and sinned against, but look at them responding in forgiveness and worship and praise. That is commendable. Who wants to hear God say that about them? That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And of all the places you can turn, malice, revenge, fantasy, you know, when you're plotting their downfall and you're picturing, if I said this, I wish I'd done that. All the places you can turn, distraction, obsession, depression, victim mentality. Let me encourage you to turn to Jesus. For freedom, for forgiveness, and for the miracle of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the team to come up now, you know.